revelation from your spirit. Our minds are flooded with light, our thinking directed as usual towards a light found only in Christ concerning you. And we walk worthy of you unto all pleasing. This evening we all behold your Son Jesus as he sees us in him. Amen. Hallelujah. 1 Kings 19. Listen well. And we ask the question, who spoke to Elijah? God or an angel? Now, we just want to look at a few things. Now, he says, in verse 11 and 12, which we have read, he says, after the earthquake, verse 12, a fire, and the Lord was not in the fire. After the fire, a still small voice, okay? There was a still small voice that spoke to him. And notice that that still small voice, pay attention to this, didn't disclose anything from Romans 11, 14, until verse 18. So when you study, you must pay attention to that. Now, in Romans 11, 4, sorry, not 14, Romans 11, 4, where a commentary was made on this experience of Elijah, Romans 11, 4, it says, but what's here the answer of God unto him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed their knees to the image of Baal. And we said the word is the word kremastistos, which is a response, or better still, an oracle's voice, like an utterance. So we don't have a clarity as to who spoke. So it says, so we had the fire, and then you had the earthquake. Basically, it happens like, you know, there seemed to be a system that Elijah was used to when it comes to hearing from God. You could notice that he himself had, diverse impressions about how he should receive from God. So he now gets a still small voice, which he says, well, call the voice of a man. And then we said, it's usually within your activities. We said that about the word kremastistos, that it's usually like an interruption into your activities. So Elijah obviously was doing something or listening to something or giving heed to something before the response. So the response oftentimes is not the response just to what he said, but the response to his search. So, in other words, in saying the Lord was not in the earthquake, he wasn't in the fire, he wasn't in the wind, those were Elijah's expectations. And so you have the word kremastistos, which is in the Greek, where you find Hebrews 8:5. Hebrews 8:5 had Moses, who when he began to build the tabernacle, was told by God. In other words, he made a request about the tabernacle. That's Moses now. And the response of God was, build what you have seen, which is preach what you have seen. He couldn't have been build a temple that is in heaven on earth. Are you still there? Hebrews 8:5. Not build what's in heaven. There's no temple in heaven. Okay? He says, build what you have seen. In other words, he saw what God will do. So he built a shadow of it. We said the word shadow is not a copy. We said the word shadow will be something that you get out of obscurity. So what he builds is the exact opposite of what he saw. But that's not what he preached. Because we found out, we did the study before, don't forget, that God didn't require sacrifices, 1, 2. The temple of God was not made with hands. So that rules out that the temple on earth has a copy in heaven. No. And we found out that what was referred to as the holiest of all is the very heart of man. That's where God's going to dwell. Does it make any sense to you now? So what makes for a temple is what was inside. You don't have a temple, then you have God inside. It's wherever God is his temple. So not that a temple is built, then God goes inside, like the old covenant. No, that's not God. It's where he dwells becomes the temple. Not that there is a temple, then he goes in because he likes it. It's his dwelling that makes it his temple. Let me see if you understand that now. So he saw that in the mount. So in other words, it's a response to his thoughts, just like Hebrews 11:7. Noah built an ark. We found out that Noah's ark was a preservation of lives from the flood, but that was not Noah's message. Noah's message was Jesus Christ. So what God told Noah couldn't just be the ark. What he told Noah wasn't the ark. What he told Noah was Jesus. Now, if someone asks me, what if there was no ark? Would Noah have been preserved? Let's take that for another time. Obviously, he was, that's Elijah now, he was having thoughts. He had said things like, I'm the only one that hasn't bowed my knee. Then in 1 Kings 19, let's quickly get there. The answer of God says no. Not just you. Verse 18, this was the answer of God. And you know, that seemed to be the only thing that was recorded in that experience as came from God. And that's clear because he couldn't have said, go and kill this person. That can be the voice of God. The voice of God will always be, I have those who have not bowed. I have those who have believed. I have those who have followed me. 1 Kings 19 and verse 18. And you need to pay attention to that. So, in looking at the Old Testament, and I wish, there's a couple of people, and I must also mention this about the social media and what people try to say. You see, whatever you hurriedly say in order to gain acceptance or popularity, eventually will be wrongly said. And I like what someone rightly said a couple of years ago, that both the man who preaches error and the man whose explanation isn't right, who hurriedly says what he hasn't understood, they end up doing the same thing. So, now I've seen people quickly say, the Old Testament is angels that spoke throughout. That is not sensible. That's not a sensible statement. The God, those angels that spoke throughout, and oftentimes it's because the Bible must have heard law in Genesis or heard something. Most of them, that's what happened. But rather than be patient, you know, take your time. You don't have to say that this year. You can wait for some time. There's always this eagerness, let me just say, so that I will also be part of those who seem to know. No, you're going to hurt people. Because what you can't explain well leaves people confused. One of the qualities of a preacher is that you must be patient. You've got to be patient. Do you know how many days Jesus spent to talk to his folks about one event, 40 days, and they still came out talking like donkeys after? 40 full days. Jesus himself was the one teaching. 40 full days. And they still spoke like donkeys. We're going to be patient. It took 12 years for Peter to have a vision. Then another 3, 4, 6 years for Paul to show up. You know, do you think they were dullards? No. Truths of God's word take time. Ephesus. Why would you think Paul would spend 2 years in a place and 3 years and he would go back and be writing letters consistently and send someone to go teach them? No. It won't take time. Praise God. There are things I teach. This is, by the way, I don't know why I'm saying this today. There are things I teach today and some say, wow. And I'm thinking, I said this thing to you about 10 years ago. But that's just the fact about learning. It could take you just 10 years to fully grasp or hold of what is being said. So don't be in a hurry. Quickly, quickly. No, everything you have God is in Christ Jesus. He's in Christ Jesus. You don't know God until Christ Jesus. That statement is good. They say, what about this one? He's an angel. He's the devil. He's man. No, he's his spirit. No, he's his son. No, he's his. Calm down. Things take time and study. Obviously, let's get back here. By Romans 11:14, which is 11:4, and then which is Hebrews 5:8, 8:5, which I thought you would have seen, and Hebrews 11:7. If it couldn't have been utterance of angels, because utterance of angels don't have faith. Okay? Hebrews 11:7 is what Kramer teaches us, and of course Hebrews 8:5, that can have faith. So the utterances must be the utterances of God. And I taught you that what the Old Testament prophets, I remember we did that in Law and the Prophets, was utterances. We said, whatever was with them was in their spirit. So being in their spirit doesn't refer to the new birth. So obviously that was God. The reason why, again, you can find out is God was because Romans 11:2-3 says he brought in an accusation. He made an intercession against Israel. He brought an accusation. And so the response will show you that's God. That was a rebuke of an accusation. And that's the character of God. The character of the Father, the character of God, is to rebuke accusations. He brought in an intercession against Israel. And so the response was a response to the things he had said. That's important. Okay, 1 Corinthians 12:1. Wow. So we said last time that you have to be intelligent. Was it intelligent? About the things of the Spirit. Now concerning spiritual things, brethren, you must be not be ignorant. I can imagine he's already talking to them. Then he gets here, then it is brethren. He's stressing it. Brethren. That is, he had to tell you again, you are a brethren. You can't afford to be ignorant of the things of the Spirit. And we said the word there is to be deliberately without knowledge. You know, there's some folks that just, what do I need to know this for? You know, years ago, I was teaching a series for some guys on the gifts of the Spirit. So we're meeting twice a day. Actually, we were in university then. So after lectures, very early in the morning before we go for lectures, we have 2 hours of teaching. Then in the afternoon, we have some break. We come 1 hour, 1.5 plus. Then in the evening, we do 3 hours of teaching. Years ago. Well, university, go for classes, come back and hear the word. And then a brother said, I said, he's coming again. I said, why? He said, why am I teaching them gifts of the Spirit? He said, what do I need it for? I'm not a pastor. I said, Jesus, seriously? Concerning things of the Spirit, pastors? I wouldn't have you. So, I mean, he just felt he didn't have to come. The first day, second day, I guess the third day, he felt, what's all this for? He's just looking. We explained tongues, the position of tongues went back to prophecy. 12 keys to prosperity. Number 1, God is sovereign. And then why is there number 2? You know, guys really don't believe you should think. Anyway, and it tells that it do not. Make sure you apply your mind. You must be intelligent because things do happen from the Spirit. And when we say Spirit, of course, this is talking about gifts of the Spirit. We have God, alright? And then we also have angels. And if there's anything in the Old Testament, you can see that they were not intelligent about spiritual things. That's why a lot of times they mixed up God and angels. Sometimes they called angels God. And sometimes things that the devil did, they said God did it. That's being unintelligent. And you can laugh at them as you like, but you see, if you don't know how to distinguish these personalities, you will make the same error of judgment. Or judgment of error. Or sorry, error of judgment. You will make the same error of judgment. Because you will put things and say, well, you know, And that's why we bring up the doctrine of sovereignty. Well, God must have had a plan. You think God has a plan for everything? See, God has no plan for unbelief. He just watches. You think he will take your unbelief and make it faith? You don't believe the gospel? Don't worry. All things work together for your good. I'll take your unbelief. By the time you see it again, it becomes faith. No. Not true. So you must learn, okay, to be intelligent with and about the things of the Spirit. Look at John 12. Can you detect which voice spoke to you? Can you detect who spoke? Can you detect who said this? People assume that any time we hear a voice, whether it's a still small voice or audible voice, it must be God. Says who? It's not true. And any time an angel of God appears to them in a vision, they assume that what he says must be authoritative and accurate. But I think we've seen that that's not true. John 12. Angels are learning. What did I say? Never see angels as perfect. That's a mistake. They're perfect in strength. They're perfect in those things. But when it comes to information, angels are learning. Okay. Now look at John 12 quickly. And 28. That is 28. John 12, 28. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. Now, when you hear a voice from heaven, what does it mean? By now you should know what it means. When you say heaven, what are you saying? Outside the material world. So heaven may just be around us. For example, if the four of us come together and we're talking and then a voice says, good morning. As long as none of the four of us said it, it's from heaven. Do you understand that? Okay. That's what it means. It doesn't mean that everybody just said, what's going on? From heaven, a voice from above. No. A voice from heaven is not a voice from above. It just means a voice outside the material world. Not outside. So a voice from heaven. Therefore they stood by and heard it, said it thundered. Others said an angel spoke to him. You see that? Very interesting fellows. When angels spoke, they said it's God. God speaks, he says an angel. They're great guys, isn't it? So you can have, all those kind of distortions in the way people hear it. Now, did you notice this? That the people who heard what happened, they were not born again. So, the fact that you're an unbeliever does not mean you cannot hear things in the Spirit. You actually can. The only thing is that you cannot distinguish. That comes by knowledge. You can hear things in the Spirit. You sure can. If I know many of you, before you got born again, let me use that term loosely, you must have heard some things in the Spirit. There are people who foretell, for example, and they tell people what's going to happen. They tell people things and they're not born again. Okay? So you must be able to distinguish, and this guy's heard it. And as he heard it, for example, John the Baptist heard the Father. And John the Baptist wasn't born again. He heard the Father. This is my beloved Son, whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him. Peter, James, and John heard it again on the Mount of Transfiguration, Matthew 17:5. And they were not born again. Praise God. Are you there? They were not born again. And Jesus explained it by saying, he is with you and shall be in you. John 14 and verse 17. He is with you and shall be in you. So, can unbelievers hear the voice of God? Come on, let me say that again. Can an unbeliever hear the voice of God? But can he recognize it? No. The recognition comes by knowledge, and that knowledge comes by the indwelling of the Spirit. He can hear it. He can hear it. Is that clear? Come on, is that clear? He can hear it. Can an unbeliever hear the voice of demons? Yes. Can a believer also hear the voice of demons? Absolutely sure, yes. But he needs to, by information, because he's born again, he needs to be informed. He needs to be well informed, and that's why we're teaching what we're teaching. Are you out there? Is it making sense to you? Very good. Okay. So you must not be ignorant. You must not be ignorant. So, Paul now says, now concerning the things of the Spirit, brethren, you can't be ignorant. Then in verse 4, he says, now there are diversities of gifts, 1 Corinthians 12, but he says the same Spirit. The word diversities is the word diaresis. That means just the same Spirit, but you have different compartments of the same Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12 and 4. Then he now mentions as one of it, 1 Corinthians 12, please go there. One of the things he mentions in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he mentions the discerning of spirits in verse 10. So it's a discerning of spirits. Now the word to discern will be to distinguish. Is the word diakrisis. Now you know what krisis is. What's krisis? To know. Right? Krisis, krima, or krisis majorly, to know, to judge. So when you say dia, what's dia? To cut across. That means you cut across spirits. 1 Corinthians 12:10. You cut across spirits. It's the same term in Romans 14:1. Paul used that in Romans 14:1. So, do we have the capacity to distinguish spirits? Okay, good. Doubtful disputations. That is, you can dispute. You can say, this is this. So we have, pay attention now, we have a capacity in our spirit, which is in the gift, which is called the gift of the Spirit. We have a capacity to recognize spirits. Now, so that's not knowledge. That is a function of the new birth. You have the capacity by the gift of the Spirit. The same way you have capacity to speak in tongues. You have the capacity to prophesy. You have the capacity to interpret. But you know, not everybody speaks in tongues. And not everybody interprets it. Why don't people speak with tongues? Some don't desire it because of the things they've heard. Someone asked me a question. He said, he is a pastor in the United Kingdom. He said he listened to the teaching, being filled with the Spirit. So he told me, he said, he tried to get people filled with the Spirit, and he said, none of them spoke in tongues. So he asked me, what happened? I just answered him immediately. I said, did you teach them before you ministered? He said, no. I said, how did I know that that was a problem? I said, no, it's not difficult to know. Oh, so you didn't teach them. I said, you didn't teach them. He said, well, what happened was that his senior, maybe the senior pastor or something, came to minister in his own branch. And so he just called them out, lay hands. I remember the very first time I had that privilege to show up. All I did was have people fall down. Holy, thank you, Holy Spirit. You know, thank you, Holy Spirit, for my stupidity. Not one single person even sighed in tongues. And I went home, my ego blown out. The anointing. Fool. I was a fool. Amen. How can you say, tongues is not falling? So I said, you know what you're going to do? The next time, spend time to explain. I said, you know why you need to explain? He said, well, he thinks... explanation. I said, do you know that Paul explained? He said, yes. I said, what do you call it now? Peter was preaching. The Holy Ghost fell. I said, there's nowhere people just spoke in tongues. Like something got a hold of them on the road to the bus stop. He found that out. He said, people had learned something before they spoke in tongues. He said the next time he did it, which was I think a week after, he said he ministered to people and all of them spoke in tongues. So he said, why does that happen? There is an information on their minds. They have watched some movies about tongues of Satan. They've heard that it's funny. And the truth is that, except you want to lie, there's none of us who spoke in tongues the first time and didn't feel stupid. Anybody else? The very first time you spoke in tongues, you felt... I've entered something. You know, your mind just says, hey, think about it too. What does that mean? But you know, as time went on, by practice and information, you felt, oh good, this is, you know, this makes sense, because after a while comes by practice. So the same way the discerning of spirits must be learned and it must be practiced. So every believer by nature can know this is a demon. Every believer by nature can know this is a demon. She can know before. So we have God, demons, angels, and man. You can discern them instantaneously. Like this. Now, that word, discerning of spirits, is not gradual. You're not be looking. And then, as the person is speaking, No. You get to know immediately. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Now, discerning of spirit is not a gift of suspicion of spirits. Sister Mope. Yeah, there was a time in years ago, I used to say Mope a lot till I finally met his sister Mope. Sister Mope. Sometimes it's just suspicion. Long hair. Yeah, you see her? She entered the church with a brother. And the way they held themselves, you suspect they're in a relationship. That's the gift of suspicion. See, there are people here today. That's the gift of suspicion. Okay? And it's always not good to start that way. So, when that gift is in demonstration, you will know. Praise God. It says, well, Pastor, how come sometimes I can't discern? It's oftentimes a battle between faith and unbelief. The first thing is that you will know. Maybe you've heard something somewhere. You say, and you start a battle in your mind, but you actually knew. Because it's a gift. It's a charisma. The ability of God that you have, you will know. Let's see examples. Acts 9. Are you there? Are you a judge? Acts 9. I found something out about the things of the Spirit. This, by the way. And so that's why I think next month I'm going to start a series again back on In the Spirit, by the Spirit. I think I found out that the things of the Spirit really require intelligent explanation and consistency over time. That you can't rely on what you used to know. No. And I found that out. Acts 9, what's this stuff? Not just Acts 9, let's start from Acts 7. Acts 7 will be Acts 2 first. I'm going to read four of them actually. Acts 2, the day of Pentecost. And there suddenly came a sound from heaven as of a mighty rushing wind. Verse 2, Acts 2, and it filled all the house. Verse 3, they appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, shouted unto them. They didn't need anything to hear the sound and to see. Everybody. They heard and they saw. You there? Are you there? Cloven tongues like a fire. And he heard the sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind. The second place will be Acts 4. Acts 4 will be Peter. No, Acts 5. Peter. Do you know, until this period, I missed that one thing. Before Acts 5, go to Acts 1. Acts 1, something happened to these folks that had never happened before. Acts 1, verse 10. While they were where they looked steadfastly toward heaven as they went by, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, "You men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up in heaven?" What had happened? They had just seen Jesus in verse 9, taken out of their sight. That's supernatural. And then they saw angels. So by Acts 2, they heard. And then they saw. By Acts 5, verse 9, an angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, "Go stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life." So they heard, which everybody can hear. Everybody can hear angels speak. But the difference is that they were able to what? Distinguish. Does it make sense? And she said, an angel spoke. That is, they knew the being who spoke. You will know. The angel doesn't say, "Well, I am an angel." No, they just knew that was an angel. By the Holy Ghost. Then you see Acts 7, Stephen, verse 55. He looked up steadfastly into heaven, alright, and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand. Then he says, "Behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man stand on the right hand of God." That was a divinely granted appearance. He saw. Now, I'm not sure he has met Jesus before, but he just knew that was Jesus. So, when that gift is in operation, you will know, you will distinguish, you'll recognize what you saw. It's not going to pray, "Lord, Father God, Father God." Or the new member of the Godhead, Father Lord Jesus. That's quite a unique personality. Father Lord Jesus. Seriously. Father Lord Jesus, what did I just see? And then the Lord is saying, "You saw a monkey." Acts, what's the next one now? Acts 5. Acts 8. 26. An angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, "Arise and go towards the south." So, everyone who heard recognized who spoke. Say, "I recognize personalities in the spirit." You are going to see such of it that they also have evil spirits around. So, you will recognize it. It's not a function of prayer. It's the gift of the spirit. And the recognition comes instantaneously. It's not a gradual recognition. It's not epignosis or gnosko or gnosis or hehido. You know, it's not that. You just know. So he heard. Then the angel said to him, then the spirit said unto him, "Philip, go near and join thyself to this child." That's revelation. Then he was caught up by the Spirit in verse 39. Now look at 9 quickly. We're back in 9. And there was a certain disciple of Damascus, Acts 9, verse 10, named Ananias. To him said the Lord in a vision. So, who told Luke or the church it was the Lord? Who? How did he know? He just knew. He said, "He saw my vision," and he said, "Ananias." And he said, "Behold, I'm here, Lord." Now, look at the word "behold." The word "behold" is the word "oraho." "Oraho" means, "I see you, Lord." It's not "behold," like "see me." You know, he looks like, no. He said, "I see you, Lord. I see you." So, he recognized it. This is different from what had happened to Paul. Paul had the same revelation. He said, "Who are thou, Lord?" Two different things. See that? "Who art thou, Lord?" Did he hear? Did he hear? And also can say he saw. But did he recognize? Okay. But did Ananias recognize? Why? What was in operation? The gift of discerning of spirits. Let me see if you understand that. You get it? Okay. That was in operation. "Who art thou, Lord?" "I am Jesus whom you persecute. He goes, But Ananias said, Lord, I see you over home. I can see you clearly. Ananias is not a prophet. And I'm not sure Ananias was praying or fasting. He'll be alright, I see you, Lord, I can see you. Different from Paul. Now write this down. Whenever you are not sure, back off. Okay? Leave it alone. When the Lord speaks to you, you know we said that? A characteristic of the Lord speaking to you is that you won't have a single doubt. The words of God are the words of faith. You won't have a single doubt. You will say, who was that? Who was that? The minute you say, who was that? Back off. Is that very clear? We did that the other day, right? It will be so clear. Because the way he's speaking to you, now in this instance, don't forget, it is your spirit in the Holy Spirit, speaking to your mind. And so the way he speaks to you, in that way of a vision, is by the gift of discerning of spirits. So, he has equipped you to say, that's me. You won't have a single question. The minute you are saying, then you now take a journey to a man of God. Your problem is just starting. Sir, I saw something. You see, I saw something. It was like a man, a bit tall, not too tall, a bit yellow, not too yellow. You better back off. You are going into uncharted territory. Because you can also hear evil spirits. You can. Praise God. You can. Now let's get this. Acts 10:14. Peter now. Wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts, verse 12, of the earth, and wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, we started this already, rise, Peter, kill and eat. And Peter said, not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. Now he's responding to an angel. And the voice came and said, what God has cleansed, don't call common. Then this was done thrice and the vessel was received up again. So he heard that. He didn't have a single doubt about whether it was an angel or not. The issue he had was the communication. Because when he had a doubt, look at when he had a doubt in verse 17, he doubted himself what this vision which he had seen should mean. So, did he have a doubt as to who spoke to him? What was the issue? What it meant? Come on. Come on, are you there? So, he knew. So when the gift of the discerning of spirits is in operation, which is in every believer, you will know. Is that very clear? Don't call your pastor. Let me just tell you. If you call me about a dream, you will miss it. What I will tell you is enough to deceive you. I'll say, oh. What did you say you saw? You saw a tree. That is an offering. You want delusion. I say, that's an offering. The offering is in dollars. Oh, I just say, makaye. Because you are the one setting me up. Praise God. Are you there? So, you notice that Peter didn't go to the apostles and say, guys, I heard a voice, so what do we do? He knew what he heard. And he knew who spoke. So when the gift of the Holy Spirit is in operation, you will know who spoke. The moment you don't know, that's not the gift of the Holy Spirit. You back off. Because you will distinguish it, you will cut across, you will know exactly who spoke. Now look at Acts 12. I don't even know what I wrote here. Oh, okay, Acts 12. I saw it. This was Peter when he was set free from jail. Notice this one. And be patient. Verse 7. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him. It's going to come upon. And a light shined in the prison. This guy was sleeping. Something wonderful about this. He's just being sentenced to die the next day. And he's sending SMS around the country. He just sleeps up. You know, they say, what are we going to do now? What are believers doing about this? Are you going to keep quiet and they will kill an apostle? Say, no, we cannot take it. Let's go on social media. This is too bad. They cannot Islamize Jerusalem. You know, we think we are in a political fight. You say, oh, Jesus, what are you looking at? You say, we have to do something. They will say, we'll move from church to church on Sunday. People, you want something to our brethren? We cannot take it. We cannot take it. The president appointed a Muslim as a citizen. That's the reason why they're killing Christians. What's wrong with you? What do you think you are doing? Human rights activism. When I was in law school, I said something, and somebody did not speak to me for 10 years. I said, what Martin Luther King was doing is not the ministry. I have a dream. It says that's not in the Bible. That one day, something on Mississippi. How can you be a reverend? Don't say that! Don't say that! If he didn't say that, how can you go to America and preach? You know, I said, you are getting it wrong. I said, give me scripture and verse, for I have a dream. He didn't speak to me for 10 years. So you think you know everything? That's the blackmail. What's with this guy? They all think they know everything. Okay, I know everything. Thanks. I don't think so. I do. You know, that's what the devil does if you say you are the son of God. And let's go for that. And a light shined in the prison and smote Peter on the side. This guy slept so much that the light didn't wake him up. Some of you are like that. The light was more light though. And smote him on the side. You have to smack him. Boom! And you know, an angel won't tap you. He goes, fuck! And Peter goes, do you know, he didn't fully wake up. Whatever made him sleep must have been he was ready to go to heaven. Arise up quickly! You can imagine Peter getting up like this. Quickly! The chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said to him, guard yourself and bind the side. He wasn't wearing his clothes. And so he did. And he said to him, cast thy garment about thee and follow me. He went out and followed him and did not know it was true, which was done by the angel. He thought he saw a vision. So did he know it was an angel? Yes. He only thought it was a vision. In other words, he thought he was still sleeping. So even in his sleep, Peter recognized an angel. So in your dream, the gifts of discerning of spirits, but for some believers, it works better. It's an operation. You will know. He knew. And as they went past the first and the second world, see, he's still going. First, second world, and the third, and then he came to the iron gate that leads to the city, which opened the devil of the unicorn, and he went out and passed through one street, and then fought the angel, departed from him, then he said, oh, then he came to himself. Oh, now I know that the Lord has sent his angels and delivered me out of the hand of Herod and all the execution of the people of Jews. So he knew it was an angel. He knew that. He saw a vision. Thought he was dreaming. So he came to himself. So the gift of the Spirit was in operation, even though he thought it was a dream. So you need to realize that when the gift of the Holy Spirit is in operation, you will know. And it's not for prophets. We have seen it in Stephen, have we? We've seen Ananias. So it's not for prophets. So if people teach you very well about the gifts of the Spirit, nobody who just be frowning in his service is a prophet. What's going on? He's seen something. What else can you see here? Someone said, I can see the spirits. Someone said, what means? He said, I can see needs. There are needs here. You are in Nigeria, Jack. Hey, Jack. You are in Nigeria. You know there's a word of money peculiar to Nigeria? It's all here. Your house rent. Oh, Lord, let me stop here now. You're going to stop here. Okay, so you can see that when that gift is in operation, you will recognize, you'll be able to discern. The moment you can, what did I say? Back off. Just cancel the thing from your mind. Don't forget, visions and revelations are secondary vehicles of guidance. So if you don't, you're not knowing a vision, okay? Oh, that was it. You're not being able to recognize who spoke doesn't take away your initiative from the written word. Praise God. Don't take your initiative from the written word. So, quickly let's go back to dreams. Some things about dreams. Let's just say a few things about dreams. Are you there? Genesis 37. What did we say last week? We said that. Do you think that Joseph should have told his dreams to his brothers? Huh? Who thinks he should have? He shouldn't have. You don't know? Okay, let me show you something shortly. Look at this. Joseph dreamed a dream, verse 5, and he told his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. They had hated him before. Okay? Because his dad loved him more than the kids. And then he hated them more. And he said unto them, hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. And behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose, and they also rose, stood upright. And behold, verse 7, your sheep stood up around about and made obeisance to my sheep. How would you say that to your own brothers? What do you expect from them? Oh, glory to God for your life. You know, and even when he told his dad, his dad said, I got the blessing from my dad. I've not blessed you yet. That kind of stuff. But somehow, by saying it the way he did, everybody got the interpretation wrong. Things done in haste always leads into trouble. Why did he tell them? Was he shown the dream to tell them? No. The dream had to do with him. You know, we said that your dreams have to do with primarily who? Yourself. He didn't have to tell them. But he did. Told his dad. But somehow his dad kept the words in his heart. We'll follow that a little bit more. So, again, we said he got the interpretation wrong. Because his dad and mom never bowed to him. And we don't have a record that Benjamin did. And then I showed you from scripture that what they did was actually figurative. They thanked him. He never was a superior tribe in Israel. But you see, that's what goes on when you misinterpret things. All that he saw was the preservation of Israel. That's what he saw. He still is not of a superior tribe than the rest of them. But he got it wrong. And his dad as well, pay attention. Same thing. Now, something I want you to notice was that, listen carefully now. In Hebrews 11, his dreams were not mentioned. Because his dreams had nothing to do with Christ. His dreams were not mentioned. Now, notice we said, you can have a dream and nothing, pay attention now, without being born again. We're going to see Pharaoh as well. Pay attention here. Come on. He had a dream, Joseph. Okay? Look at verse 11. I want to show you. I don't know why. Verse 11. Okay, he says, his brethren envied him and his father observed the saying. He kept what he saw. Notice that in that dream, there was no Potiphar, no Pharaoh, no Egypt, and also no Christ. He didn't say Pharaoh. He didn't mention Egypt. He didn't even know about Pharaoh. He didn't know about Egypt. He didn't know anything. He just said, you guys are going to bow, which was the exact, he wasn't literally what he saw. So we can jump into conclusions when we feel or we assume that's what was being said. Don't forget last week we said, when you have a dream from God that has a revelation from God, you will know what it means. Never forget that. Because you are born of the Spirit. Never forget that distinction. You are born of the Spirit. So, how dependable was this dream? We don't know. His dad had a dream earlier on, Genesis 28 verse 12, then verse 14 to 16, you can check that later. Obviously, the dad knew about knowing things by dreams. That's why he kept the sayings in his heart. But after a while, did you notice that Joseph doesn't make mention of his dreams again? So he himself was disillusioned. Because by chapter 40, he had two guys, you know, who also dreamt when he was there. Then he said, look guys, I can tell you, you know, what this means. Verse 10, Genesis 40. No, verse 8, sorry. And they said unto him, we have dreamed a dream, and there is no interpreter of it. And Jesus said unto them, do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me, I pray you. He said, interpretations belong to what? What has changed? Come on, what has changed? What has changed? His knowledge has changed. He said, interpretation belongs to who? God. Obviously, he was disillusioned about what he saw. Because you can't explain what's happening to him. And you see that shortly. And then, he said, I pray you. And then they told him the dreams. The interesting part was when the butler told his dreams, he looks cool. And the baker was inspired to tell his own. Well, verse 16 says, the chief baker saw the interpretation was good and said, Joseph, oh my God, what do you see about me? Then he said, you will be killed. Not too nice. So, obviously, of course, verse 16, they were both afraid before now, and I told him, and then he said, you will be killed. But let's leave that. So, obviously, we said, dreams come from activities. Their dreams related to why they were there. A dream is an interruption into your regular activity. Don't forget that we did that study before now. There will be something you were doing before. Or something you were going to do after. And that is why you must properly handle dreams. One more. Now notice this. When the guy was set free, look at David. Joseph. Look at 14. So for you to know, he was disillusioned. Let's take 14 together. And think on me, when it shall be well with thee, and show kindness, I pray thee, honor me, and make mention unto me unto Pharaoh, and bring me out of this house. See that? He had left his dreams behind. He's now saying, hey, help me. At least I've interpreted your own. Do you understand? So it's disillusioned. Because obviously, he learned that interpretation is of God. You don't jump into conclusion because you saw a card, and next person you saw was your mother-in-law. And then the innocent woman says, good morning. You say, morning, ma. How are you today? By God's grace, I am fine. By the grace of God, nothing is wrong with me, sir. Hey, where are you going today? Hey, monitoring spirit. See what I said. Those things divide homes. When you come into conclusion, you will have your brothers. Okay. You don't jump into conclusions. He knew later that interpretation belonged to God. Don't jump into conclusion. Look at Solomon, 1 Kings 3. I have many things to say about this Solomon's case, but I cannot bear them now. So I wait till later. Obviously, when you saw that dream, the purported dream where Solomon, or the purported encounter where Solomon said, I don't need money. It was a dream. Let's move over. It was a dream because Solomon really wanted money. Yeah. So maybe the angel is trying to tell him, actually, I can't bear them now. So just don't take my words too seriously, but be serious about it. Maybe the angel was like, hey buddy, don't ask for money. You will get it. Ask for wisdom. So he woke up and said, well, good. He got the money, he left the wisdom, and wanted the money. Because the dream, obviously, was a dream. Let's move on. Dreams are always about you, don't forget that. When you start dreaming about Barcelona, Acts 2:28. Yeah, you know. Praise God. Unbelievers dream, believers dream. Acts 2:28. So, notice the difference in Acts 2:28, which we said the other time. That Acts 2:28 must relate with what Peter was talking about. I will pour. That's it. That's Acts 2:28. No. Acts 2:16. In my note, I was supposed to write Joel 2:28, and I wrote Acts 2. Verse 17. I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Of course, we said that the dreams is that they will see visions when they sleep. Can you remember that? Okay, we saw that. They will see visions when they sleep. Now, this must be related to what he was talking about. So obviously, the difference here, with all we have read so far, is that this, if it's by the Spirit of God, don't forget the last time, it must reveal who? Christ Jesus. It must center around Jesus. It must speak of Jesus. Because the same way you prophesy by His Spirit, okay, and it will relate with Christ. I'm not saying it will reveal the person of Jesus, but it will have, within the revelation, the person of Jesus. His characteristics will be found in it. Because, like we said, it's going side by side with prophesying. So this is unique and different. This is not about, what do you call it now? It's not about Joseph. Now, this will be the discerning of spirits, but in what fashion? Just like prophecy, it is about Jesus. Or around Jesus. Or from Jesus. So, one way you're going to make a distinction here is the Christ-centered nature of it. We're going to see that as we look at judging dreams. In Matthew 27, I think, yep. Because man is a spirit, allow my terminology, or man has a spirit, he is likely to pick up impressions from spirit beings. He doesn't have to be born again to do that. That's why you have people who are in all sorts of stuff. You know, they don't have to be born again to know things that will happen. They don't have to be born again to know that. They do. They will know. Or things that have happened. So, look at Matthew 27. Pilate's wife. Verse 19. When he sat down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, have nothing to do with the just man, for I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. We don't have records that she's born again. If I went and said this man, of course the word is the same word, onar, O-N-A-R, same word, which is what happened to Joseph, Matthew 1:20. Matthew 2:13 and 19. I'll take it again. Matthew 1:20. Matthew 2:13 and 19. And Matthew 2:22, the wise men. And then this woman. So she had a dream, an experience. So when she said, I have suffered, it doesn't mean that she was beaten. The word suffer means I have experienced many things about this man. And he says, I have nothing to do with him. He says, this just man. And so there's a slight problem there. She knew in her dream that Jesus was a just person. He did nothing. She knew. Was that the Spirit of God? Now, notice that she said to the husband, don't have anything to do. Now, was she preventing Jesus from being crucified or preventing her husband from getting involved at all? Can I have your opinion? Huh? What did you say? From being what? So that the husband doesn't get involved at all. Okay. Now, how did she know about it? Obviously, the husband must have told her. Don't forget again, dreams will come from an information you have received or an activity you are engaged with. So she knew. But then, 1 Corinthians 2:8 says, had the princes of this world known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. That's a slight challenge. And Pilate was of the princes of this world, and by identification, his wife. So, what did she know? He's a just man. Did she know he was a Christ? No. But she knew he didn't do anything wrong, which the chief priests also knew. Alright? So, why the dream? She picked something up in a dream. Was that the Holy Ghost? No. Was there an angel involved? She didn't tell us. But in the dream, she knew that Jesus was a just man. Did she see him wear white? She didn't tell us. For her to tell, so send for the husband, critical, who was on the judgment seat, that he was about to give a ruling. And he says, come sweet. That man has done nothing. And this is not a Christian. At least we don't have a record from what she says. She doesn't appear to. So, can an unbeliever also experience things in the dream? Huh? But was there enough guidance in what she must have seen? No. There wasn't. So, like I said, there's a small challenge there. What did she see? We don't know. But whatever she saw must have told her that Jesus did nothing. So, a dream is an experience. Okay? And a dream comes from your activity. Peter, for example, we saw that. Look at Ecclesiastes 5. You can always relate your dreams to your activity. Something you've heard, something you were willing to hear, something you've done, something you wanted to do. Ecclesiastes 5. This shows you that dreams are not authoritative. Neither are they as reliable as some of us hold them. Ecclesiastes 5. Look at verse 3. For a dream comes through the multitude of business. A dream, he says, comes through the multitude of business. Look at the word business. The word business is the word I-N-Y-A-N. It means a task. I-N-Y-A-N. You see Ecclesiastes 1:13. Travail. Ecclesiastes 2:32 and 26. Sorry, did I say that? Ecclesiastes 2:23, sorry, and 26. Travail. 26. Same word, travail. Task. Things you are doing. Ecclesiastes 4:8. Same thing, travail. Ecclesiastes 5:3, the one we read. Ecclesiastes 5:14. Labor. Ecclesiastes 8:6. So this writer, the first person, who observed what was happening to man. Ecclesiastes 8:6, you know. Ecclesiastes is a man who just looks across and says, he observed this. This is what happens in dreams. An observation he made. And if you are also that way, you should be able to know. It's out of multitude of tasks, business, he says he has dreams. Ecclesiastes 5:3. A dream will come from it. Now, he's not talking about dreaming big. He's using the same word used for dreams. Same word used for dreams. So that means your dreams will come out of your own activity. Same word used for dreams, shalom. C-H-A-L-L-O-M. So from your own activities will come dreams. From your own activities. From the things you have done or you are about to do. Now, look at Ecclesiastes 5:7. In the multitude of dreams, he says, and many words, also vanities. So you can have dreams that just mean nothing. So I say, what happens if I have sex in the dream? Stop it. It's just vanity. Just say, oh, it means, well, it could be that they are obviously, not that it could be, it is that you are having some thoughts through your mind. It doesn't mean that truly someone came in the spirit realm and had sex with you. Please, for crying out loud, sex is one flesh. Give yourself some brain. That's just the multitude of activities in your mind. You eat food? Great. You were hungry or you wanted food? You just had a dream that you bought a whole estate in Ikoyi? Vanity. That's what he says. It's just vanity. You're just having a good time. Have you ever had dreams when you went to write exams and you woke up thinking the exams had been written? That shows you were not prepared. Activities. You have dreams about football. Have I had one about football before? I think. But it was vanity. It never came to pass. So you have dreams. You know, you sleep, you wake up, you have dreams. Don't think that I dream a lot. Someone said, if you are here and you cannot remember your dreams, come out. 1994. He was my, I brought him to preach. I was so ashamed that day. So when no one came out, said, if you are here and you can't remember your dreams. That's what I know. You had a dream and you can't remember it. And that's how people came out. See? Out! Out! For not remembering your dream. When he was going, I said, you have a dream, you don't understand. So I told him, I said, I always mention his name. I mean, which, you know. At this point, I will have to come out. So dreams, he says, comes out of vanity. The word vanity is the word ebel. It means delusion. Alright, delusion is the word used for a vapor. It just means nothing. So don't take dreams too seriously, except you know. If you love the work of the ministry, you will see crowd. The next thing you are saying, I sense the Lord is telling me to start the church. When you finish watching Benny Hinn and you watch Pastor Chris, you watch your bunky, how would you not see clouds when you speak? And you like what they were doing. So you're looking at yourself. What's happening over there? That was already in your mind. I tell you, Africa is taking. You have seen that. You've seen yourself doing it. That's what I'm saying. Then you go to bed. Of course, next thing you see yourself preach. Notice that multitude, you don't see the faces. It's vanity. If you are serious about the things of God, you must have had those dreams before. Is it not true? There's nobody here who has not had such dreams before. If you are not that kind of dream before, come out. What they have done with you these days is so terrible. So it's normal. It's out of the activities that you go through and all that. And I recall that, out of activities you go through, you have dreams. It's just your mind being busy. Alright? And it paints pictures. Normally without sleeping, you see pictures. Right? So when you sleep, it looks like a vision. It's not a vision. It's just pictures. Pictures. Imaginations. But the issue is that your physical body is in a state of rest. So that's it. So it's just a multitude. But then, within that same period, the same way you can walk on the street, and then just within your thoughts, you will see you have a revelation from the Spirit of God. It's the same way you have a dream and have a revelation. So don't make the one for the dream look so spectacular. It's just because you were sleeping. Is that very clear? So the same way thoughts in the day, that sometimes you just want to have thoughts, just thinking, you see a nice Rolls Royce park, you just see yourself not driving, By the time you see yourself driving the Rolls Royce, there's a problem. That's not the right one. So you sit at the back, and you say, you don't say, God is talking to me. So the same way, when you sit in the dream, don't also say God is talking to you. Is that very clear? So I say, I saw the name of our church. Stop that. Have you seen those names that people see in dreams? You will know it's out of the multitude of business. When
So look at your dreams. So what will be the key thing for us? When I have a dream, of course I cast away the ones that is just vanity. Like when you say that Messi will have one football of the year, that's not, it doesn't make sense. That is just a vapor. You know, that is the height of delusion. You know, you don't think like that. It can't happen. If you dream that Ronaldo is going to take it, it's not a revelation. It's done. It's done. They're not plural. It's not a function of anything. Amen. That's a good dream. Where were we? Okay. So when you have a dream like that and you begin to examine, you have to examine it. Okay? Is that clear? So my first point of contact will be the written word. The written word. Listen carefully now. There is nothing authoritative in revelations. Nothing. Nothing authoritative. Every revelation, a dream or a vision, will derive their validity from the written word. So, if I have a vision or a dream, it must pass through the scanner. Always. So, the written word, let's do two things I want you to observe. Jesus just had an experience. He came from the dead. What better time? You know, do you know what he did for them on two occasions? He said, look, touch me. And he touched him. He said, it is him. Do you know he didn't stop there? He now took them through all the scriptures. So, the message he gave them to preach was not that we touched him. It was the fact that it was written, it is fulfilled, and we saw the experience. So, Jesus did not rely on his experience to explain his experience. He validated his experience from where? The written words. Let me ask one more. That's Luke 24, 25, 27. And Luke 24, 44 and 45. Also, when the day of Pentecost experience, did you notice again? Peter said, this is that which was written or spoken of by the prophet Joel. And he went scripture with scripture. Of course, he added the experience with Jesus that he wrote from the dead. Scripture with scripture with scripture with scripture. Something that was so real to him, yet the validity was from the written word. Because before that experience came, Jesus validated it from the written word. Are you there? Are you following? So the written word is the validation of any experience. Follow this. Together with that, is for us to also see the inward witness. Before we get to the inward witness, look at something Paul said. Galatians 1. Don't overrate dreams. What did I say? Don't begin to see dreams like, oh my God, this must mean something. It must mean something. How? It can mean nothing. Galatians 1. That'll be too far. Verse 6. I'm never that you are so soon removed from he that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. I will say, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you. The word tarazo means makes you unsettled. You lose your confidence. And a lot of people are preaching this. As you hear them like this, you go and give them your salvation. When they are done with you, by the time they finish a parable of Jesus, you'll find yourself there. So they trouble you. Then he didn't stop there. He first mentioned they preach the gospel. He now said, look at, let's take verse 8 together. And though we, or an angel from heaven, you see this. Look at verse 8. And though we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. What does accursed mean? Stopped. Stop it. So, an angel, that is we, or an angel from heaven, Can we place a dream in this category? Very good. He said, the moment it does not reflect the gospel, stop it. That it unsettles you. And then suddenly, your confidence in the gospel is being affected. He said, put a stop to it. And you know, when you hear the word gospel, it means it will speak about God in that context. Just stop it. It doesn't mean anything. In 2 Corinthians 11, Paul painted the same thing. Saw that yesterday. He said in verse 2 Corinthians 11. But I fear lest by any means as a serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, that your mind should be corrupted from what? What was simplicity? The generosity that is in Christ. Simplicity is not simple jacket or simple suit. That's not what he's saying. Aplotis means generosity, liberality, which is used for someone who gives without conditions. The moment your mind is being corrupted from that, he said, that is the devil. He said, they preach, look at this again. If he that cometh preach another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or we have not preached, which you have not received, or another gospel you have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. And it was here he mentioned that some, you know, will come. And he mentions them as, in verse 14, Satan himself is transformed into what? An angel of light. So, don't let the experience overwhelm you. Discern it. What information was this? The moment it doesn't reflect the gospel of Christ, just throw it away like garbage. Don't even meditate on it. Don't try to think, what could it mean? What could be the interpretation? Maybe I'm not doing, maybe you are looking for trouble. Because it will require your action. The moment you are breathing, you are brooding over it, you are giving faith to it. Throw it away. There's something you don't even remember. Don't go and think you have a book of dreams every day. Now have a diary of dreams. You are looking for trouble. On 14th, I saw Shade. She gave me this. Shade must be meaning something evil for my destiny. Destiny killer. So again, you need to trust the inward witness. The inward witness is that expression of the born-again human spirit that reacts to an information. Let me say this, and I think I want to stress this. Learn, there's a written word, which is, we said, the authority of all experiences. Okay, and in the written word, we have the inward witness. Everyone who is born again knows the will of God. Your spirit recognizes it. See, your spirit uses the written word for your mind. Because the spirit of the written word is the spirit of every born again man. Are you there? So, in Romans 8:16 says the spirit bears witness with our spirits. Is the word so material, joint witness. S-U-M-M-A-T-E-R-R-E-O. We know what that means. Which Paul used two times. Again, Romans 2:15 and Romans 9:1. To bear witness. Oftentimes, when you use what's so material, there will be a voice to it. So there is a, you know, he has said in 15, he says, crying, Abba, Father. So the witness is the witness of the Father. So in my spirit, I know the will of God. I will always know it. In any instance, the issue is listening to it. And maybe for many believers, recognizing it. And the only way you can recognize the inward witness accurately is to feed well on God's words. Very well. So you must learn to trust the inward witness. Let's see a couple of examples. Acts 14 verse 9. Paul perceived a man had prayed to be healed. But look at Acts 16 verse 8. Paul grieved in his spirit. Grieved. Not grieved in his spirit. Grieved, turned and said to the spirit. That's a reaction. Acts 17, 16. Let's see this one together. Paul waited for them at Athens. His spirit was stirred in him when he saw. Every time you see, perceive, grieved, it is a reaction to something. When he saw. So as you see something, there is a witness. He was stirred, which is the word provoked. It will bear the same thing that is in the Father. He was provoked. He wasn't angry and wanted to kill them. He was provoked to preach the gospel. And he did. Acts 18:5. He was pressed in the spirit and testified to the Jews. Acts 18:5. Acts 20:22. Vital one. It says, and now behold, I go bound in the spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me. So he didn't have anything clear, but he knew in his spirit he had to go. He said that, you know, it was witnessed, the Holy Ghost testifies in every city that these people were giving prophecies to him, that bonds and afflictions were breeding him. Well, I'm bound in the spirit to go. I'm compelled. In his spirit. Don't forget to go and preach the gospel. He was compelled. Acts 27 verse 10. Where he said, I perceive that this voice shall be heard and much damage. Now if you are taking time on this series, we have taken care of this. Leadings are what? Perception. Which is the way you receive the leading of the spirit. So you must learn to trust it. When you have such impressions, and this is how we define it, said, the inward witness is what? The witness of the human spirit born again. Alright? To a fact, an information, or an event exposed to it. Always check in your heart. Sometimes your head goes, but your heart does not. And inward witness is supernatural. So, it's not like there was something you had that is not a confirmation of your thoughts. Mm-mm. It is independent of your opinion about it. You just know. And like we said about inward witness in this series, so you have to go and get it. It can now cause you to pray. Let me just take some time and pray about this. One thing about following God is that you must learn to be a bit slow. Not slow. Learn to just be a bit slow. Don't be hasty. You see, when you are too much in a hurry, like Brother Hagin will say, it's better to be a little bit slower than God than to be ahead. Many of us would have made plans, would have called people, would have done this and done that. But just be slow. There are things, for example, pastors can tell you, we are planning to do something. And we have put the plans down and we could do it. You know that we couldn't do it. I said, let's just wait for some time. We just didn't discuss it again. I just stopped the plans. And the thing just came out itself. I said, obviously, what we knew in our spirit was something was going to happen. We were going to be involved, but it didn't mean we were going to be the ones to do it. Never make conclusions. I remember a dear friend, I must have said in this series, and I just told him, I said, there's something about a campus. He said, no. So I said, we're going to do this. I said, hold on. Said, no. Said, we'll do this. Then he had the structure. I said, no. And it was so, the thing looked delicious. The structure was there. I said, no. Now I'll just pray something about it. That I know the inward witness. When I see what it is, I'll recognize it. So I said, okay. Are you again, boys? You're telling it again. You want to sense, you want to know. I said, leave us like that. It's just better. You know? Because at the end of it, it's not what you do, it's how you did it. Paul says some will preach Christ in stride. Can you imagine? That means people will be born again. But there's no reward for you. He said, after I have preached unto others. People will be born again. So people being born again and being blessed is not a proof that you are in obedience. So. After I have preached unto others, I myself have become a castaway. Amen. Okay. So it's vital that we follow our hearts and be persuaded about things. Are you there? So, in the inward way, don't be too fast. Like Paul was so quick to say, everybody will be destroyed. There are two things, two ways to look at it anyway. But don't be too fast to make conclusions. There's something about believers and our spirits born again that we are not hasty. Who has noticed that about us? About the believer? Have you noticed that generally? From scripture, they are just not hasty. They're just something about being just that, being slow a bit. No, we say yes. So I say, will you marry me? You don't fall down. Are you okay? And they'll give you ultras in church. You'll be looking. So they will marry me. Say, Nollywood will not destroy people. Why can't a Christian just say, okay, I'll get back to you? Why? There was one brother that said, you don't have to wait. See, this is the word witness. You know what we do. You know the person. It's a while. Say, so you know. She's married now. Let me let the cat bag out of the cat. No, calm down. Let me pray. So I say, are you still praying 6 months? Okay, go and marry somebody else. What is it? Say, no. Pastor has taught us that we are led of the Spirit of God. And that is where you are going to practice it. You know, we found out that in this study, that when it comes to revelations and the leading of the Spirit, that almost all of them have to do with the gospel. Did I say that? Someone said, I already engaged. I'm not saying that what you said is not of God. I'm just saying that. Are you there? So anyway, you learn to trust the word witness, praise God. And when you have that check, or that permission. Just again, even when there's a permission in your spirit about something, it doesn't hurt to double check. You won't be against God if you just double check. And one thing I tell people is that you will never be wrong just praying. That's why they say, that's why all the people say just keep praying. So prayer is not just one thing you go and do. It's something you should be doing all the time. Just keep praying. Be praying. And in praying, oftentimes you pray out what you should do. Are you there? So, whether there is a dream or not, whether you have the dream or not, whether you know what the dream is or not, it's more reliable to follow the inward witness. It becomes a check. And more so, like we said earlier, the written word. Let's quickly look at something. When we mention the inward witness, never forget that the inward witness must reflect the character of God. Fear can never be the inward witness. In no way. Because God has not given to us, 2 Timothy 1:6, the spirit of fear. Anxiety cannot be the inward witness. Be anxious for nothing. We have scriptures for don't murmur. Philippians 4:6. Be anxious for nothing. Romans 14:17. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. So you have enough ways to know an inward witness. Are you there? You have enough. Even when you are being checked about an issue, it will be fear. Neither will it be anxiety. You know, I could tell you, don't do anything. But I can tell you, there's trouble. You know, there are two things. I can say, don't do it. Say, why? And we have both said the same thing in a different way. Now, in the character of God, it will be the first one. You just have a check. That's all. Not, I sense evil. I sense, come here. There's something wrong with you. Is that okay? If God will show you anything, He will show you deliverance. Hallelujah. That's His character. So quickly, look at the role your conscience plays in dreams and visions. Let's quickly see that. Acts 9. You have a role to play. The way you act in dreams should tell you the kind of spiritual life you live. Peter was told to kill and eat. Look at what he said. Acts 10. Verse 14. I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. See self-righteousness. That's his conscience. That means in your dreams and visions, your knowledge will come to the fore. No. On the last day, only true believer is in your mind. That's what you know. And conscience is a function of a persistent notion. Something you know. Look at Ananias, Acts 9. Ananias said to Jesus, he said, Lord, verse 13, I have heard, individual, I have heard of many things, I've heard by many of this man, how much evil he has done to thy saints. See how he argued with Jesus at Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. So when people say they have visions, respected men of God, and you see things that are said doctrinally, don't be fooled. It's what they know. You get this? It doesn't mean he didn't see something. It's what they know. What you know will come out in a revelation. Is that I have heard many things of this man. That is, his conscience had a role to play, just like Peter. When we have, I'm closing here, when we have a witness from God or a revelation, there will be joy, there will be peace, there will be assurance, because God's communications are always words of faith. So it will be consistent with his character. So when those things are missing in a dream or a revelation, just throw it away. Don't bother trying to say, what does it mean? You are looking for trouble. There is nothing of God in a fearful thought. There is nothing of God in an anxiety. Are you there? What you will need to do, if you see anxiety in a dream, is be anxious for nothing. Fear not. Don't say, what could it be? What could it mean? You are only breeding the fear the more. Fear not. What else do we have? We have freedom of speech. First John 5:14. This is the confidence, parousia, that we have in Him. We can talk. Praise God. So, I know you know more than having you be eating in dream, all those nonsense. If you sleep and you cannot say, G, it means nothing. Even those who are doing deliverance, they have that experience. They are not just telling you. There's nobody in this world that does not have funny dreams. So don't take it seriously. Except it becomes significant. Where you have a revelation that you can see. And when you have things that are fearful, we said this, and worrisome, just throw it away. Don't even tell somebody. Don't trust your wife and say, sweetheart, where's buddy? Something's wrong with you. Just forget it. If I thought your sweetheart is well taught, just laugh over it. That, what's happening to me? I had a funny dream. And just laugh and say, ah, sleep again, girl. That's fine. You know, I once had a revelation and I saw myself in hell. Because at that time, my knowledge of hell was burning fire. So I saw it. I now saw a particular preacher in this nation. I won't mention the name. Who told me, you are going here. It looks so real. Very, very real. As real as I'm looking at you. But what else should I be having at that period? Even my sermons and the vision were in one accord. So, what else will I be seeing? Do you know that much later, I now had another vision. What I saw, I now felt that that was a ministry. So, I now titled our ministry. What am I saying to you? Okay, I said, the Lord has called me to help people to discover their potentials. Not knowing that I was to come to the knowledge of the gospel to know who you are in Christ. See all these potentials things? That was how I started. So by the time I was now confused, when I started reading the word, and I said, okay, knowing who you are in Christ, releasing potentials, reaching the nations, lighting the world. You can see confusion breaking, but that is the nature of vision. It was books that set it. By the time I read people who did not see vision, but read the written word, I took my vision and gave it to Lover. Amen.